understand that the first coming would be the suffering servant, as we see in Psalm 22 and Isaiah 53. But I believe there were people alive at the birth of Jesus. I believe there were people who were expecting that. I think that Simeon, remember Simeon held the baby, you know, and the Lord had shown him these things. And though within 30 years, you say that wasn't very long. Well, look at where we come in 30 years. Go get your little, what was that, Back to the Future? The
DeLorean,
is that what it's called?
Get your time machine.
Yeah, get your flux capacitor and go back 30 years and tell them that Bruce Jenner is now Caitlyn.
Yeah, really.
And tell them that men are getting married to men and women are getting married to women. And tell them that people are being arrested, losing their jobs, being shamed publicly for not going along with Clinger when Clinger claims to be a woman. Because about the only transgender everybody knew back then was Clinger on MASH. Now look at where we are 30 years later. There are people in your lives who think you are a nasty bigot because you won't go along with what 30 years ago nobody was going along with. Think about what's changed in 30 years. Same thing happened with Jesus. From the time he was born to the time he began his ministry, things changed drastically. But in those texts that we just make that comparison, Matthew 2, 1 through 3, and back in Micah 4, Bethlehem, King, Kingdom, Jerusalem. Just those connections to be made. You make those connections as you're reading. It's just a brings the Bible together. To a lot of people, because they don't, we talked about this, learning the names of people, learning the names of cities, learning some of the names that are crossover, you know, for me, like Jacob and Israel, the same man, you know. But there's different places where Jethro, the father-in-law of Moses, remember what he was also known as? Huh?
Rule?
Yeah.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Prize.
And there's a third one I can't think of. It starts with the letter H. That's your homework assignment. I can't think of it, so I'll give it to you to do. So the text then says, even the first dominion, the kingdom shall come to the daughter of Jerusalem. Do you think God's a liar?
No.
Do you know about two-thirds of professing Christianity today spiritualize that? Because they don't believe God's really going to do it. So they make that mean something totally different than what it says. I believe it. The kingdom shall come to the daughter of Jerusalem. I believe there's coming a day when Jesus is going to rule and reign from a throne in Jerusalem. And of course that's in the distant future from Micah. But we'll come back to that in a second. In the meantime, then he stops there and he discusses the chastisement in between. From the time of Micah to the time of that kingdom, there's no evidence that the prophets understood the church age. And Peter refers to the fact that the prophets didn't understand everything, and even the angels in heaven seem to be, you know, they're not omniscient. And they look down with inquiring minds, wondering what in the world is going on. Hobab. Teacher's pet. That's the third name. Jethro, Reuel, and Hobab. Moses' father-in-law. He was a priest of Midian, by the way, too. So there in verse 9. Now why dost... this is the tone that I read this in. Now why dost thou cry out aloud? Is there no king in thee? Is thy counselor perished? What's the answer to that? The answer is, there is no king. The counselor is perished. That's the answer. For pangs have taken thee as a woman in travail. There's several places where it talks about the anguish that the Jews who survived, at least, went through before Nebuchadnezzar took Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, Azariah, better known as Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. There's an example of those names that are interchangeable, and you'll understand the Bible better if you learn those. Can you imagine? I don't think we can. I'm not going to stand up here and tell you I can imagine it. But you should sit sometime when you're meditating, that's what that means, sit and think about just seeing the people you love, some of them just killed on the spot, the others chained and taken off from here to Siberia, going across the Bering Strait there, and marching you, and people trying to hide, and then being hunted down by dogs. And everything you know is gone. They burn your homes and your churches and everything. You will never experience life again the way you have up to this point in your life. It's over. You will spend the rest of your life, unless you're very young, 70 years, in a country with a language like Russian. You can't speak Russian. You might pick it up after a few years. You'll never have the holidays you know today. You'll never have anything. It's over. And most of the people you know are dead. And you're stuck there the rest of your life. That's what's happening. That's why people actually would bend over screaming in anguish like a woman having birth.
Yeah.
And I have come close a couple of times of being so grieved that I was bent over like that. And I can't imagine what these people went through. But I've known some people who have gone through that. I know parents who have had to bury a child, especially when they're younger, and that sort of pain. I've never known that. And that's why he says, for pangs have taken thee as a woman. The kingdom is destroyed. The king has been killed. No more prophets to speak of at that point. They're going off into a strange land. It almost seems like he's taunting them here. But it's a legit confrontation with the kingdom of Judah. Listen, folks. If this happens to America, I am not going to be out with anybody shaking my fist at God and saying, "Why, God? Why are you doing this?" I'm surprised he hasn't already done it. I find it really hard to sing with sincerity and sing, "God bless America." Because you're like, why would he do that? If he does, thank you, Lord. I certainly don't understand you, because I would expect you to just wipe us out right now. Putting that fag flag all over the White House, grooming children, mutilating children's bodies, giving them chemical castrations, irreversible procedures, abusing our children in the name of medicine. Not to mention all the babies killed and everything else we could, and all those parades in the cities with a bunch of naked sodomites blaspheming, masturbating. I'm not going to say it again. I see that going on. Like, I can't believe God just doesn't kill them all.
Yeah, and
everybody involved in it. That's called long-suffering. So if it happened tomorrow to America and this whole thing collapsed, I am, for one, not going to be shocked. And I know some of you are the same. And I will not be shaking my fist at God and saying, "Why?" But you better believe most of your Christian friends are going to do that. You better be careful who you hang around with when bad times hit, because if they're not in the book, they're not filled with the Spirit, they're not filled with the knowledge of God, they will turn on God.
Yes, they will.
And they'll try to take you with them.
Yeah.
Yeah, John?
Yeah. Well, we just heard tonight on the Christian radio, in the state of Massachusetts, they're now doing rainbow clubs for the elementary kids. And it's not the rainbow you and I know.
Yeah.
That is sick.
Yeah. You go on Truth Social or X and sign up for an account called Libs of TikTok. And this lady takes these videos from TikTok and posts them on Truth and X so that people can see just how wicked and perverse and nasty the leftists and the sodomites are, where they're comfortable posting this stuff on TikTok. And that'll make you wonder why God's not just wiping everybody out. But I'll tell you what, that also answers the question when you read, and it looks really nasty during that tribulation period, but once you open your eyes to what's going on now, knowing it's just going to get worse, then when you read how God kills a bunch of them, two-thirds of the world population, you don't wonder. You wonder why he left any. But it's a legit confrontation with Judah, just like it would be with America in our text. The Lord then speaks of both judgment and of future glory of his promises to Israel in the same verse in verse 10. Look at verse 10. It says, be in pain and labor to bring forth, O daughter of Zion, like a woman in travail. So this is, he ends verse 9 referring to these pangs and then he starts at verse 10, and he says, but while it brought you into captivity, it's actually, in the long run, it's actually going to bring forth. You can't, God cannot reward wickedness. And he's punishing Israel, punishing Judah, but he's still going to keep his word. There's still going to be a kingdom. Suffering, when it comes to birth pangs, and I don't speak from experience, but you women who've had babies probably can tell us that giving birth is something that intensely painful, but you're so glad when it's over, because if it went on too long, it would kill you.
It does, yeah.
I had a doctor tell me years ago, you know, childbirth is as close as a woman comes to death before she dies. That's what the doctor told me. And so that's why he uses the trail of birth pangs, because it's a pain that is intense, and it's one that he doesn't lay on them for a long period of time, because it would just kill them all. It would wipe them out. For now shalt thou go forth out of the city. That's what happened. Babylon just took everybody and took them out of the city. And look, it says, this is an amazing example of the Bible's exactness. He says, and thou shalt dwell in the field, and thou shalt go even to Babylon. That's exactly what happened. It literally happened exactly like that. J. Vernon McGee says this, quote, when Nebuchadnezzar captured the city, the remaining inhabitants fled and tried to live in the fields. That's historically a fact, just like your text says. Eventually, they were taken captive to Babylon. And I think that's what would happen if America, you know, was decimated like that. That people go, how many people you know could live out in the woods?
Nobody.
Yeah, Charlie and a few other people I know might make it. Noah's probably getting pretty good up there in Montana. We need to get his address. We might want to run to Montana here pretty soon. But I would die from being exposed to the elements, you know, with my COPD, so just write me off. But, you know, very few Americans would survive long term trying to live out in the fields like that. And that's what happened with the Jews there in Jerusalem and Israel when Babylon came into the kingdom of Judah, took them. I just wanted you to see this is the actual rebuilding of the ancient Babylon, give you an idea of somewhere in there. This is built out in the area of Babylon. And there are areas where they're actually living there. People are living there and everything, but nothing like it was during the time of Babylon. But it gives you an idea. Somewhere there is where Daniel and Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, and somewhere there is where Belshazzar saw the handwriting on the wall. All those things you read about in the book of Daniel. So that's a pretty neat little thing there. Then verse 10 goes on to say, there shalt thou be delivered. I'll reemphasize that. There shalt thou be delivered. Where? Babylon. How many of you read Jeremiah and understood it? Because the first couple of times I read Jeremiah, I didn't understand it.
Oh, yeah.
But he's saying to Judah, the kingdom of Judah, surrender, go with Babylon, and you will survive. And your children and their children will come back to the land after 70 years. That's in Jeremiah 25. It was all laid out. But very few listened. Very few would listen to the word of God. And so he's saying, I'll deliver you. That's the message of Jeremiah right there. Go. You know, they accused Jeremiah of being a traitor. Because he said, don't fight them. You know, they're accusing Christians who believe in the pre-trib rapture of being traitors. Sellouts, all kinds of things they'll call us. Christians who support Israel. You guys are Zionists. You're not Americans. I'm an American Christian Zionist. That's me. I don't care what they think about me. That's who I am. That's what I am. And I'm going to stay that way. Because God's word doesn't change.
Amen.
But people talk about you like you're a traitor because you believe that at any moment the rapture is going to happen. And you've heard me say this before. Once that happens, they can have it.
Amen.
And Israel, until the day I die or the rapture takes place, I will never turn on Israel. I don't have to agree with everything they do. I don't agree with 90% of what my own government does. And I'm not turning on my own government. I'm against certain administrations. You remember, we had a lady down at the other building accuse us of being anti-American. And that we preached the overthrow of the U.S. government.
Which is so crazy.
So the fellow who was the head of the board that rented the building out there came to me. And he said, so I need to ask you a couple questions. I said, sure. He said, do you preach the overthrow of the U.S. government? Do you believe that? I said, no, I don't preach the overthrow of the U.S. government. I said, right, we hand out constitutions for free. We are pro-constitution. I said, but I think Barack Obama is a traitor. Yeah. I said, but I don't want the government overthrown. I just want that bum out of office. And he said, so do I.
Okay.
He said, I thought so. He said, I knew it was some woman that they were renting to. He said, she pulled something like that again. I'm getting her out of here.
Amen.
He didn't kick us out. But that's the kind of stuff people will say about you. And ignoramuses will believe it. But that guy, that fella, he knew the truth. He knew the Constitution. He knew what's right. And so he backed us up. But God, in this situation, He delivered them, and He used Cyrus to do exactly that. And that's what we've been studying in past chapters in the book of Isaiah in our Sunday school. But I want to look over at 2 Chronicles. Not every day we get to go to 2 Chronicles in our studies. There is a lot of good stuff in 2 Chronicles, 1st and 2nd. But there's a lot of, you know, genealogies and things, and that you know, that doesn't kill you. To read it, but some people act like it does. 2 Chronicles 36, verses 22 and 23. These are the last two verses of 2 Chronicles, and it tells us this. Verse 22. Now, in the first year of Cyrus, king of Persia, that the word of the Lord spoken by the mouth of Jeremiah might be accomplished. The Lord stirred up the spirit of Cyrus, king of Persia, that he made a proclamation throughout all his kingdom and put it also in writing, saying. Now, I want you to read this. This is a letter, a short note from King Cyrus. Read that, verse 23. Thus saith Cyrus, king of Persia, all the kingdoms of the earth hath the Lord God of heaven given me, and he hath charged me to build him an house in Jerusalem, which is in Judah, who is there among you of all his people. The Lord his God be with him, and let him go up. Yeah. That's exactly what we're being told in verse 10 happens. He delivers the Jews from Babylon using a pagan king named Cyrus. How many of you are told you shouldn't vote for a man that is divorced and uses bad language and blah, 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 you know? I'll guarantee you Cyrus used bad language. He wasn't, as far as we know, even a Christian or a believer in Old Testament times. And God stirred him up and used him by the power of his spirit. And that goes for my president or my plumber. If God's going to use that guy to unclog my toilet, God bless him. He could be a Buddhist as far as I care. I'm still going to call him and have him unplug my toilet. Amen. You will too. Guarantee you. Anybody says otherwise, you're a hypocrite. I know good and well, you want that toilet unplugged. And if the Christian, how many of you know Christians that are a bunch of bums? Oh, yeah. Call them to unplug your toilet, they'll show up a month later. That's happened numerous times to me where I've called somebody who's a Christian trying to support a brother. They end up having to call the Muslim. Yeah, there's blue pages. Yeah, are they still around? Yeah, I know exactly what you're talking about that. Yeah. I called the blue pages for an attorney. Never got a call back. So I went and got this other guy who was a good old heathen. Then the Christian finally calls me. He wants to charge me three times what the heathen charged me. That's crazy. I was glad I got a hold of that heathen. He did good work too. I want to say something before we move on. If you read or read the Jewish Bible, you know, the Hebrew Bible, we call it the Old Testament. That's their Bible. They don't have a New Testament in their Bible. It ends with these verses. That's how their Bible ends, calling them back to Jerusalem. Ain't that something? You know, that's one of those things. You don't tell me that all these things are coincidence. That's God. Amen. You want to be an unbeliever? Reject my son? For 2,000 years, you're going to be hunted. The fishers and the hunters are going to come after you. You're going to be like gypsies. And in the end times, I'm going to bring you back. And for the entire 2,000 years, every time you bother to read your Bible that cuts out my New Testament, the last words in your Bible are going to be telling you to go home. Right. Think of that. Wow. It's amazing. It's an amazing book, isn't it?
Amen.
The Lord his God be with him and let him go up. Every time they finish their book. But just before the kingdom age, there will be a judgment of nations. That's what we read here in Micah 4, verses 11 through 13. The divine defense in verses 11 and 12. Look, it says, now also many nations are gathered against thee that say, let her be defiled and let our eye look upon Zion. So let the Jews die and we'll just go in and take what's left after they're gone. But Joel and Jesus talk about this when God says, all right, I've had enough. I'm going. He gathers many nations. Look over at Joel 3. We'll do this real quick. Joel is back a few pages to the left. Hosea, Joel, and then Amos. Joel 3, verses 1 through 3. Look what he says. Verse 1, for behold, in those days and in that time when I shall bring again the captivity of Judah and Jerusalem. That's what you're seeing today. Bringing the Jews back to the land. We're about to verse 2. And I believe verse 2 is at the end of the tribulation. The rapture could happen any moment. This is a little more than 7 years, possibly. This is going to happen. Verse 2, read that. I will also gather all nations and will bring them down into the valley of Jehoshaphat and will plead with them there for my people and for my heritage Israel, whom they have scattered among the nations and parted my land. And then verse 3, and they have cast lots for my people and have given a boy for a harlot and sold a girl for wine that they might drink. Don't you think that kind of describes what they're doing to them in Gaza right now with those hostages? But there's a lot more than that going on, but we don't have time to get into all of it. But look, turn over a few more pages to Matthew 25. That was Joel describing exactly what Micah is talking about there in Micah 4. And then Jesus in Matthew chapter 25, beginning in verse 31. When the Son of Man shall come in His glory, and all the holy angels with Him, then shall He sit upon the throne of His glory, and read verse 32, and before Him shall be gathered all nations, and He shall separate them one from another, as a shepherd divideth his sheep from the goats. And in verse 33, what's it say? Read that. And He shall set the sheep on His right hand, but the goats on the left. And I'll say it over and over. The left wingers are of hell, and the right wingers are of God. That's what the Bible says. I get laughed at all the time for saying that. I don't care. I believe the Bible. There's a reason why the goats want to be called leftists. Something up here and in here. They know where they belong. And yeah, being on the right doesn't mean you're going to heaven. But on the right, it's the people against abortion. It's the people against gun control. It's the people against Sodom and grooming and all that stuff. Those will be the people on the right hand at the end of the tribulation period who didn't take the mark. Amen. So this results in Israel being the final superpower. And that's, we've talked about this numerous times because of what we're studying in Isaiah and here and elsewhere. But man, a lot of the people, they call themselves right-wingers and said they hate the Bible talking about Israel being the power over nations during the millennium and the king of Israel ruling the world and all that stuff. But look what it says there, verse 13, arise and thresh, O daughter of Zion, for I will make thine horn iron. And I will make thy hoofs brass, and thou shalt beat in pieces many people. This is talking about Israel. And I will consecrate their gain unto the Lord, and their substance unto the Lord of the whole earth. Yeah, these people say, these Jews run everything. Jews run Hollywood. Jews control the banks. Jews are trying to take over the world. Well, those wicked Jews are probably not going to see this, but that one day the Jews are going to rule the world. Their King Jesus, King of the Jews, will be ruler, King of kings and Lord of lords. And He will be the King of Israel, and Israel will be above all the nations. It's coming. A little over 7 years after the rapture, which could happen in the next moment. That's how soon all this could happen. I know I've said this before, but I have to repeat it because I've been in conversations with folks here, and some of you forget about it. You know why I know that? Because I forget about it. We need to be reminded. It could be just the next moment we're raptured, and within a short time, more than 7 years after that, King Jesus is going to be ruling the world.
Amen.
7 years? I mean, 7 years ago. Didn't that just go like that?
Yeah. Yes, it did.
Oh boy, let it be. That rapture could happen at any moment. So that's where we'll pick up next time in chapter 5. Father, we thank You, Lord, for this time in Your Word. We thank You for everything You've taught us. We thank You for Your Holy Spirit. And we thank You for Jesus. We thank You for what He did to save us. We thank You for all the truth and the promises we see to Israel and to the church and the coming kingdom where Israel will rule under King Jesus, nations ruled by Israel, and Your church will rule and reign with You over the entire world as You rule with a rod of iron for 1,000 years. and it could happen just a little more than 7 years, Lord, and we pray it does. We ask you to come quickly as we close in Jesus' name. Amen.